The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello. I wonder why so many people are here today. All right, you're here for me. Refer me. No. That's not. We're not doing this. We're not doing this.
From across the room. It's been 7 months. You've not called on me.
You
know my message. I'm saying that does not right.
On times, welcome, guys. Welcome. Welcome to the press briefing room. We at the White House today are going to focus on another sport, which is soccer. It is truly an honor to have Coach Lasso here with us today.
LGBTQ plus rights are human rights. And we're never going to shy away or be bashful about speaking up for those rights and for individuals to live as they deem fit, as they want to live. And that's something that's a core part of our foreign policy, and it will remain so.
We established a climate change and health equity office at the Department of Health and Human Services, not the EPA at HHS. We established an environmental justice office, not in the Department of Justice, but in HHS.
The situation is stabilizing, and the U.S. banking system remains sound.
And always one moon, like a silent drum, tapping at every rooftop and every window on every county. I'm getting so intimidated by being here. And always one moon, like a silent drum, tapping on every rooftop and every window of one country. County. I'm proud to use my authority under the Antiquities Act to establish the, and I want you to know it's a big deal, the Havaniqua May. I'm having trouble. Thank you. I got it.
As the world burns, there's all the Joe Bama people out there just fiddling away, just continuing, inviting in the actors, talking sports, citing poetry, and the world is burning. The United States is burning as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. Just type that URL in, trumpetdaily.com, and you can watch it live every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of the United States. Of course, you can go to our websites as well and download the program or watch it on demand if you choose to go that way as well. So there they are. They're talking about, well, John Kirby, he's the spokesperson for the State Department, talking about LGBTQ rights. And how that is, what did he say? It's a core part of our foreign policy. Try telling that to the people of Afghanistan. As we pulled out abruptly, handed them all of this military equipment, and gave control of the nation to the Taliban. And he's talking about LGBT. What does the Taliban think about LGBTQ plus rights? They're establishing health equity agencies or departments. They're establishing environmental justice. What does all this mean? I mentioned last week just how it's all about diversity and equality. This is all that they talk about. We've got to be diverse, and we've got to be... And meanwhile, just step back for a moment and look at what's happening in the world. Richard Palmer wrote in the Morning Brief earlier today about the meeting between China and Russia. Here, the effort in Ukraine, and I'll talk more about that here in just a second as well, but it's pushing Russia and China together. How significant is that? Prophetically, President Xi, on his way out of Russia, he said to Putin, change is coming that hasn't happened in 100 years, and we're driving this change together. I mean, we're seeing even Xi says this is the first time in a century that we're seeing this kind of dramatic change. The Gentile kings, the kings of the East, they sense that this is their moment. This is their time. America's time is over. They know it. They see it. They see it in the Middle East. They see it with all of the resources we're pouring into Ukraine. Richard wrote, Russia and China were close before Putin invaded Ukraine, but the war has taken their relationship to another level. You know, you listen to all the spokespeople for the U.S. and Britain, and you would just be forgiven for thinking that the whole world is united against Russia in Ukraine. The whole world is on the side of Ukraine. Is that true? Is that the way China views it? You know how many people live in China or India? It says here, the Putin-Xi meeting was clearly intended to symbolize this new phase in their friendship. It's a remarkable confirmation of one of our most long-standing prophecies. You can read about it. Don't forget about He Was Right. All of these prophecies, so many long-standing prophecies from God's church, now we see them being fulfilled. They're unfolding right before our eyes. This is from the website Unheard. It says, for the past year, NATO countries led by the U.S. have strived to nudge the rest of the world into providing military aid for Ukraine and sanctioning Russia in the hope of isolating the latter. They have, by and large, failed on both counts. Russia has not been isolated. When you've got China on your side, that's far from isolation. It says here, Western officials might point out that 141 of 193 countries supported a recent UN resolution demanding Russia withdraw from Ukraine, but the 32 abstaining countries included China, India, Pakistan, and South Africa, which alone account for about 40% of the global population. Is Russia isolated? This is driving Russia to China and driving China to Russia as well. This is disrupting the entirety of the global order. And as I say, how significant is it from a Bible prophecy standpoint? It says here in this article, despite the West's attempts to globalize the conflict, only 33 nations representing just over 1/8 of the global population have imposed sanctions on Russia and sent military aid to Ukraine. It says the UK, US, Canada, Australia, South Korea, Japan, and the EU. In other words, those countries that are directly under the US sphere of influence. So it's a largely US-led operation. But when you compare just the numbers, just population-wise, it says here, the problem for the US and for the West is that this message is starting to resonate around the world. Let me just back up. It says, if anything, the war has actually strengthened Russian relations with a number of major non-Western countries, including China and India, and accelerated the rise of a new international order in which it is the West that looks increasingly isolated, not Russia. The West, the United States and Britain, that are looking increasingly isolated. What did I tell you earlier this week? That prophecy in Isaiah 23, the mart of nations? You see the nations beginning to align themselves in opposition, not to Russia, in opposition to the United States. They know, they see that the U.S. is in a free fall. They see the bitter affliction that's discussed in 2 Kings 14. It says here, the problem for the U.S. and the West is that this message is starting to resonate around the world. Many non-Westerners feel that the U.S. is in no position to lecture other countries about the sanctity of sovereignty, territorial integrity, international law, and so-called rules-based order. It says here, they recognize that the U.S. has violated these principles before. Talks about some of the war efforts for the U.S. over the past couple decades. For several countries, it's not just that they're unwilling to sacrifice their own interests for Ukraine. It's partly about taking a stand against the West. Well, I'm not going to side with this effort to support Ukraine, no matter what, however long it takes, because I'm in opposition to the United States. There's plenty of countries that think this way. It says here, India has also openly defied the West on Ukraine. It recently announced that its trade with Russia had grown 400% since the invasion. 400%? I mean, that's some kind of statement. It's made by India, one of the most populated nations in the world. 400%, mostly due to a 700% increase in its import of petroleum-related products. Russia's doing big business with India, with China. It says further on, recent developments certainly aren't tipping the global balance in favor for the West, or in favor of the West. On the one hand, it's becoming increasingly apparent that NATO's strategy in Ukraine isn't working. Not only is Ukraine facing heavy losses, while the West unable to keep up with Ukrainian demands for ammunition and equipment, but the sanctions have hurt Western countries as well as developing ones. It says, on the other hand, the financial crisis triggered by the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank is yet another reminder of the intrinsic instability of the West's hyper-financialized brand of capitalism. This article talks about all these other things that are going bad for the United States at the moment, including the SVB collapse. You have this crisis in the banking industry, in Western banks, and Russia getting together with China and saying, hey, well, let's move more toward the Chinese currency. Let's use that in our trade with one another. Xi saying, man, 100 years, we haven't seen change like this in a century. Why is it going well for Russia, China, India, some of these nations that are coming together? And why is it going so badly for the United States? Why is the affliction so bitter? We recently passed the 20-year anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. And this is what it says over at the American Conservative. 20 years after George W. Bush ordered U.S. forces to invade Iraq, we're now just beginning to glimpse what that conflict produced by way of outcomes. Who won? Well, not the United States, that's for sure. It says here, it appears increasingly that the victor's laurels belong to the People's Republic of China, which prudently avoided any direct involvement in the Iraq war whatsoever. Rather than a go for broke war of choice, China opted for diplomacy. Yeah, now you've got China arranging these deals between Iran and Saudi Arabia. 20 years on, all of that American money and blood spent for what? Was it in vain? Who came out victorious in Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan? Of course, if you were reading the trumpet back then, we told you that the whole effort was misguided from the beginning because we weren't going after the head of the state, the snake, the number one state sponsor of terror, Iran. Says, looking past the fog of propaganda generated by Bush and his lieutenants, Operation Iraqi Freedom had almost nothing to do with freeing Iraqis. Its actual purpose was to crush any doubts about who calls the shots in the Persian Gulf. Says, the humiliation of 9/11, the United States unable to fend off a brutal attack by 19 hijackers, had called American regional primacy into question. It says, a quick, decisive victory over Saddam would teach an object lesson to any nation or group tempted to have a go at the United States. Yeah, America was the single dominant power at that time. And yet all these years later, it's just like Mr. Armstrong said. Following World War II, America has won its last war. And now we're spending all this strength in Ukraine. And it's empowering Russia? And then you look at the sickness at home. This was Chuck Schumer the other day. I guess they came up with some kind of legislation around the 20th anniversary of that invasion into Iraq. Listen to what he said the other day, clip 11.
Americans are tired of endless wars, and thanks to the folks here with me, this is the week the Senate will begin the process to end the legal authority that started the Iraq War 2 decades ago. March 19th will mark the 20th anniversary of that invasion.
So whatever that means, they've got to end the legal authority that started it. In other words, let's go after George W. Bush. And here, how rich for him to talk about Americans being tired of these war efforts, even as all of them, those same people, are just pumping tens of billions of dollars into Ukraine, sending all kinds of equipment over there. We just haven't sent America's boys yet. Another war. How's it going to, in the end, just again, step back, look at the bigger picture. How is this going to help the United States when it's all said and done? What's happening right now in Ukraine? This is, by the way, this was our forecast back in November of 2001. You'll remember this because, I mean, September 11th had just happened. This was the first issue following that nightmarish attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and so on. And the effort, it took time for American forces to mobilize and to, you know, head over to the Middle East, Afghanistan, hunting down terrorists. Eventually Iraq, as I just said. And this is what we said. While the U.S. wants to eliminate terrorism and is becoming much more aggressive in trying to do so, its efforts will fall short. That's what we said at the time. Then you fast forward to this article from the American Conservative, 20 years on. Who won? Well, obviously America didn't. It's looking more and more like China, brokering these deals between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And the U.S., of course, has virtually no presence over there. A lot has changed in 20 years. How come all of these efforts, whether it's Iraq or otherwise, how come all of these efforts are going so badly for the United States? Well, it's because of what Bible prophecy says about our broken will. This is Leviticus 26. And our strength being spent in vain. Think about leaving almost $100 billion of equipment, worth of equipment in Afghanistan. Talk about spending your strength in vain for nothing. It just is empowering our enemies. It says here, this is again the trumpet from back in November 2001. America, frankly, does not have the necessary will to tackle the enormity of the problem. Thus, America is forced to confront the issue using clever half measures. At this point, Iran is no longer considered a state sponsor of terrorism. Instead, in a telling twist of irony, it is being courted as an ally in fighting terrorism. We actually reached out to Iran. That was the head of the snake, still is. That's the head of radical Islam. And we actually reached out to them for help and assistance in finding terrorists and killing terrorists in Afghanistan and elsewhere. It says here, the trumpet has often written that the pride of America's power has been broken. That is God's doing. A curse on a nation that rejected his commandments and abandoned his protection. If you've been listening to the second segments that I've had this week, you certainly see a nation in the United States that has rejected the commandments of God. It says here, finally, with the country currently standing at attention, singing patriotic anthems and waving flags, padding its security, issuing proclamations and orders, deploying ships and planes and personnel, America may appear strong to some. These actions may even be temporarily holding the next attack at bay, but on the whole, they are not acts of courage but of fear, and they are not complete or savage enough to eliminate the threat. That's the trumpet forecast, tomorrow's news today. I mean, think about just as another angle to this story, what sprung from that attack here at home, here in the United States. You know, the Department of Homeland Security, all of this additional security that we have at airports and so on. And then think about what Barack Obama did to weaponize these agencies, to take these agencies and to turn them not on terrorists, but on Americans, political enemies. America under attack. Look at how dramatic and earth-shaking these developments, these changes have been just in the past 20 years, just in the past two decades. And now you look at what's happening with Russia and this effort. It's been going on in Ukraine just a little over a year. We passed that anniversary not that long ago. And here's this article at Unheard talking about it driving the two, Russia and China. Of course, we've got a booklet that goes by the name Russia and China in Prophecy. What does Bible prophecy say regarding these two behemoths? Well, they're going to come together as the kings of the East. If you don't have Russia and China in Prophecy, I've mentioned the Prince of Rosh. Booklet as well, the 800 number, toll-free if you live in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. It's 1-866-930-3024. This article at Unheard, it says, only last week, America's global standing took another hit with the signing of a historic agreement between Iran and Saudi Arabia brokered by China. China's brokering deals. China's bringing nations together in the Middle East, of all places. It says here, David H. Randall, a former chief of mission at the American Embassy in Saudi Arabia, explained that the deal will be seen as a watershed moment for Chinese influence in the Middle East, while further eroding America's already poor reputation in the region. Supposedly LGBTQ is a core of America's foreign policy. And so we get out of Afghanistan at the drop of a hat and leave all those poor people in the hands of the Taliban, the newly empowered Taliban. When you consider all the equipment we left them, strength spent in vain. It says here, all these developments suggest a radical geopolitical realignment is underway, which is hastening the demise of American global supremacy. It's hastening America's decline. It's accelerating the Mart of Nations prophecy, which is going to squeeze out America and its beloved dollar. Same with the UK. They're going to be on the outside looking in, all the nations of Israel. It says here, a second study carried out by the University of Cambridge last October, which was based on data from 137 countries that represent 97% of world population. It says, while some upper-income countries in South America and Asia, the Asia-Pacific and Eastern Europe have become more pro-American, it concluded that across a vast span of countries stretching from continental Eurasia to the north and west of Africa, we find the opposite. Societies that have moved closer to China and Russia over the course of the last decade. So she's over there saying, look, this is something that hasn't happened in 100 years. It says, for the first time, China and Russia are now narrowly ahead of the U.S. in their popularity among developing countries. That is, among the overwhelming majority of the world's population. The overwhelming majority of the world's population. They're siding with China. They're siding with Russia. They're choosing sides, and it's not with the United States. It says here, today, as Xi and Putin sit down to discuss the future of Ukraine, the implication of this is clear. China and Russia are not decoupling from the West. Rather, the West is decoupling from the rest of the world. The West is decoupling from the... Then by the West, of course, they mean primarily the United States. The United States-led coalition that's in Ukraine, that's fighting against Russia, that's when you listen to all the talking heads. We could play a clown show like you heard at the start every week, it seems. These people with their heads just deeply, firmly in the sand, going on about sports and entertainment and LGBTQ and every kind of equity agency that you could imagine, climate justice. And meanwhile, in the real world, you see these realignments. And this is all in fulfillment of Bible prophecy. As I say, the 800 number for Russia and China in prophecy for the Prince of Rosh booklet, 1-866-930-3024. When we come back, we'll give you the latest on the forthcoming indictment of Trump. Will there be an indictment? Of course, the talking heads on this side of the pond just consumed with this. Destroy Trump. Get Trump. That's another one of the big distractions. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. The world is hopelessly confused about Bible history and prophecy. Understanding the Daniel 2 image could clear up most of that confusion. The Daniel 2 image gives an overview of history and prophecy like nothing else in the Bible. The Bible is a masterful work that should be studied in its entirety. The book of Daniel and the images described therein actually unlock the meaning of the prophecies in the book of Revelation. Our free booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, explains the incredible prophecies contained in these two books. Studied alongside your Bible, this booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, will bring the history and prophecy of your Bible to life. Request your free copy today. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Well, there's two things that a republic needs to survive, and one is you have to have a judicial system that's not weaponized, and you can't criminalize politics. We're doing both. And we have a president right now who's probably could face Donald Trump, and we have very asymmetrical treatment about the way the Mar-a-Lago raid was conducted versus the Biden raid. And it just continues that the American people are watching this and they're saying, these people don't even try to hide it. They're so asymmetrical. They're not applying the law equally. What are they afraid of? And I think they're afraid of that the people, the majority of the people, are not going to vote for them. And they have the institutional support. They own Hollywood entertainment, the corporate boardroom, academia, K through 12. But even with all that power, institutional power, they're still paranoid of what the people feel and what the people would do. So they have this weaponized criminal justice system and this criminalizing of politics. And I don't know how long it can continue and you can still have a republic.
There's only so much longer that this could go on. I mean, God has to intervene to save America, because the Republic, I mean, it's crumbling before our eyes. And I mean, to go off what Victor Davis Hanson just said there, the statement in America Under Attack is that we're getting a good look of what the radical left, the communist left, is willing to do to grab hold of power and then to maintain its grip on power. They know they can't win at the ballot box. And so they've weaponized all these agencies. And this is what it's come to. They've got to put Donald Trump behind bars. Greg Jarrett probably did the best job just explaining these bogus charges brought on by the DA in New York, Alvin Bragg. It says the DA invented his case against Trump by taking an alleged misdemeanor business records violation. A business records violation. This is how they want to take down Trump, the second coming of Hitler, the way they see it, the way they view it. A business records violation, and then supercharging it into a felony by citing an imagined second crime arising out of a supposed campaign finance violation. It says the novelty of such a charge is exceeded only by its absurdity. See, even the New York Times, I gave you the quote yesterday, they acknowledge that this is untested legal theory. They want to get the bad orange guy in prison on an untested legal theory. This is exactly what Victor Davis Hanson was describing. I mean, two things that you need to hold a republic together is a fair justice system, and then you can't criminalize, you know, the political opposition. And we're seeing both. Jarrett says here, the indictment appears to hinge on the DA's argument that a 2016 payment made to porn star Stormy Daniels was intended to help Trump's presidential bid and should have been accounted for as a campaign contribution, not legal fees. Remember all the legal fees that Hillary put in the column for the Perkins Coie fraud, the Perkins Coie dirt, political dirt. And then they just get a little slap on the wrist. But this, I mean, this has got to take down Trump. It says here, when he reimbursed his then lawyer, Michael Cohen, who paid Daniels to keep her mouth shut about a purported 2006 affair that Trump vigorously denies. Confused yet? You should be, says Jarrett. The flaw in Bragg's tortured logic is twofold. First, non-disclosure agreements in exchange for money are perfectly legal. Second, Cohen long ago stated that the payment had nothing to do with the campaign, but was made to protect Melania Trump from an embarrassing, albeit false, accusation. As such, it is not an illegal campaign donation under the law. Hence, there is no crime. There's no crime. They're making it up. And evidently the grand jury is convening again today. And there's some indication that maybe this radical communist DA is having some second thoughts. I mean, you not only have to present the indictment, then you've got to try to argue this in court as well. And anyone that's thinking it through, well, Cohen's the star witness. And he's already said long ago, no, it was done just for Melania to try to protect this slander from going out there. And as I said yesterday, Stormy Daniels, she accepted it, the $130,000 or whatever it was, the money to just go away. Happens all the time, says Jarrett. Bragg's determination to snooker a grand jury into indicting Trump is an egregious abuse of government authority. It constitutes the weaponization of the law for political gain, but it is also, and importantly, selective prosecution of the worst kind. Selective prosecution. It's been happening for years. Look at these people rotting away in jail, the D.C. gulag, because they made the mistake of walking through an open door into the Capitol on January 6, 2021. And now they're wasting away. And the media, they love it. They love it. Listen to this next clip. This is from a historian, basically. He's on with Joe Scarborough. They're talking about the indictment that they hope will finally come. And listen to what he says. Notice how they just, I don't know if you have any comments from Scarborough in this clip. I don't think there are. But you see how closely it's all connected with politics, with the next election. This is clip 9.
The next president and the current president, we've got some real problems. You know, China and Russia are getting together. There's a war in Ukraine. There are all sorts of complicated economic problems. God forbid another pandemic. Do you really want a next president like Donald Trump distracted by all of his legal problems and his financial problems after fending off prosecutions possibly on all these fronts? I don't think so. So once again, historically, Donald Trump in as a category of his own, if he gets indicted, that will have never happened to any other president. And you've got every other president in one category, Donald Trump once again in his own category of the notorious.
That's basically an indirect way of admitting what this is all about, trying to create a crime where there isn't one. Just weigh him down. I mean, it'll be the first time in history. Nobody's ever been, a former president's never been indicted. Do you really want someone, let's just project ahead to the next presidential cycle. Given what a president has to deal with in the world, do you really want someone in that office who's weighed down with all these charges, with these indictments, with this persecution, this attack? Well, he doesn't use the word persecution. That's the way I describe it. But he's admitting. He's admitting why the dogs have been after Trump for 7 years now. Seven, 8 years. It's not enough to beat him at the ballot box. You can add to what Plouf said years ago, that you can't beat him at the ballot box. So he must be destroyed. That's the goal. Just weigh him down. Weigh him down. We've talked before about Donald Trump's courage and just his fighting spirit. It is remarkable, given the attacks coming from every angle, even a crime, creating a crime out of nothing. This is from this issue, the January issue of the Trumpet, Ready for War, speaking of his courage and fighting spirit. My father says, after midterm elections, America's affliction has intensified, and the battle to recover the nation is sure to be fierce. You following the midterm, you see, the battle's just intensified. The bitter affliction, it's gotten even more bitter. Again, that's 2 Kings 14 and verse 26, where it says, for the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, was very bitter, and whether bond or free, there was no helper for Israel. There was nobody to help. Like Victor Davis Hanson said, I mean, they control everything. They control all the power positions. And now look at how they're using the DOJ. Look at how they're using the FBI. It says here, the nation is in very bitter affliction and there's no helper. This is illustrated powerfully by the way that the entire political and media establishment is fighting against Donald Trump. See, it continues. You know what it was like 2 seconds ago following the midterms. He's finished. He's finished. He's a loser. Everybody he endorses, he loses every time. They lie, don't they? He's winning, which is why he's got to go behind bars, which is why they got to get him in prison so that he can't run again, so that he can't run against them. There's no helper, my father wrote, no real power coming to the aid of President Trump and of America. There's no helper there except God. See, only God could save us. And listen, you can say that about America standing here at home, and then there's nations, like I covered in the first segment, there's nations abroad that see that there's no help. It's just bitter affliction. So let's move to the Chinese currency. Let's band together against the United States. Let's push back over Ukraine, so many of them are saying, and doing. I mean, India upping its trade with Russia by 400%? I thought the sanctions were supposed to destroy Russia. It says here, there's no helper, no real power coming to the aid of President Trump and of America. There's no helper there except God. God sees everything that's happening, and these criminals are going to run up against something they have never faced before. God is going to save Israel. Otherwise, Barack Obama would blot out the name of Israel. God has to do it. Man can't do it. God has to expose it. God has to expose this fundamental transformation for what it is. God has to expose the real criminals, the real bad actors here, the communists that are attacking the United States from the inside. And as I say, there's some indication that maybe a few of the communists who are thinking this through, they might be looking for a way out. They might be thinking, okay, let's get him, but on this is Van Jones from CNN earlier today, clip one.
I think that the heat is on this DA. I think he's going to make a very sober decision, and I would not be surprised if he doesn't step back from the brink. I just think that the reality is he's got to make a sober decision now. I agree with David. A charge like this, a porn star payoff 7 years ago, somehow tied to the election, but not really. It doesn't seem like the right way to go.
When you can't sell Van Jones on this, then you know it's creating a crime out of nothing. You know it's a political hit job. You know. He knows. They know. Here, all of this is happening, as I've said previously. Even as Jim Comer exposes the Biden crime family's financial dealings with the CCP. That's right. They're working with the CCP in other ways, just like Russia's working with the CCP. Coming together, kings of the East. And here at home, you've got these compromised leaders. They're getting money, tens of thousands of dollars, direct from the CCP. Yeah, Hunter, Jim, the brother, I mean, Joe, the big guy, Hunter's mistress. That's right. All in the family. They're all in on it. This was just revealed last week. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about actual crime. They want to talk about hush money. Hush money. Hush money that happens all the time in Hollywood, in politics. Tucker last night, just going back to this point about the justice system being totally politicized. He talked about, we mentioned this story a few days ago, the DOJ actually widening its investigation of the January 6th protest. This is happening even as Tucker is exposing what actually went on inside the Capitol with a lot of people like Jacob Chansley, just walking around, just escorted even by police. Listen to what Tucker had to say about these January 6th protesters, clip three.
In fact, as of tonight, it's not just Trump who is the target of this, it's Trump's voters. The Biden administration is in the process of preparing yet another law enforcement dragnet of more than 1,000 nonviolent January 6th protesters. These are not people who broke windows or tussled with cops. These are patriotic Americans who dared to question the official story of the 2020 election. They watched with the rest of us as COVID was used as a pretext to eliminate longstanding barriers to voter fraud. They saw Democratic partisan Mark Zuckerberg spend nearly $500 million to influence the mechanics of voting, including in critical swing states. Nevertheless, as they watched the news on the night of November 3rd, Trump seemed to be winning re-election. And then they woke up and smug TV anchors are telling them that actually a senile man who refused to campaign had won the biggest landslide in American history. He got 15 million more votes than Barack Obama. They were skeptical. They did not buy that. So they went to Washington to protest. They thought that was their right. And as a result, January 6th. That was more than 2 years ago.
Wow, Tucker, you better be careful. I mean, that's basically the big steal. That's election denying right there. Again, just going by the standard that the communists and the media have set for us. You don't dare question the election. And as Tucker rightfully points out there, the election, the steal, it's directly connected to those protesters on January 6th. And you see why the January 6th narrative is so incredibly important to the communist left, because that's how you squash any and all discussion on the election steal. That's what it was meant to do from the very beginning. As I've said so many times before, even the timing, as Sundance points out, to the minute of the proceedings that were to happen inside of Congress that day. But they couldn't do it because, well, Pelosi had to be ushered out. Same with Mike Pence. It's too dangerous. It was deadly, after all. My father writes, it's this same issue, ready for war. He says, it is stunning how successful the devil has been in blotting out talk of election fraud in America. You just can't talk about it. You can't. Now, this is changing, as you just heard there from that Tucker clip. But it's stunning. It's stunning when you see just how intimidating the devil is, how he crushes the dissent. You can't even talk about it. It says here, the Democrats insist there's no evidence of any wrongdoing. The media label anyone who brings it up as an election denier and an extremist. They have intimidated most of the nation into shutting up and pretending there are no problems. And tragically, shamefully, the great majority of conservative politicians and pressmen have gone along. It says, Satan has hung a curtain of fear. The Uniparty, see, even many conservatives just went right along with it. They were intimidated into silence back in the November days of 2020, November and December. Well, I mean, Trump should have had more lawyers. You know, Laura Ingraham said he should have had better attorneys. He should have been more prepared for this. But you know, we're not gonna go back and relitigate anything around November 3rd. They just let it go. They just ignored Rudy Giuliani. They ignored the affidavits. They ignored the witnesses, the eyewitnesses. They ignored all the mules, the video footage. They ignored the DOJ tampering with the election. Big tech, big media, all in on it for sure. Don't even go there. Listen again to Tucker from last evening, clip 4.
1,000 people have already been arrested for that. And most of them did what Jacob Chansley did. They walked through what we used to call the people's house. And some of them are still in prison tonight. So you assumed that ugly story was over, at least the law enforcement component of it. But no, it's not over. It's just getting started. The Biden administration has identified 1,000 additional Trump voters for non-crimes that they claim took place on January 6th, mostly walking as Jacob Chansley did. In recent months, according to a story in the Washington Post, U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves, a willing tool of the Biden administration, has written to court officials, quote, alerting them that an additional 700 to 1,200 people may be charged stemming from January 6th. How many is that? Well, this will constitute the largest investigation in the history of the Department of Justice by an order of magnitude. This dragnet is so vast that prosecutors are warning D.C. jails and prisons will be overrun with prisoners.
The D.C. jails overrun with prisoners, with MAGA prisoners, people convicted of non-crimes, convicted of nothing, convicted of walking, basically. And it's not enough that there's 1,000 in there now, or that have been chased after, persecuted, harassed. There's 1,000 more. They're widening the dragnet. They're widening the investigation. Can you believe this? Going after people that have not committed crimes. It's exactly the same with Donald Trump. A non-crime. It reminds me of what Trump used to say so often. In coming after me, they're actually going after you, ordinary Americans. That's their real target. All of them, the whole movement. This is Tucker again from last night, clip 5.
This footage is available to everyone, including the anchors on MSNBC. They know this, they're lying anyway. They don't care about what actually happened, and more critically, they don't care about the civil rights of the man whose life was destroyed. What you just saw is a measure of the total moral corruption of our news media and the institutions they serve in Washington. And it has implications for you. If they'll endorse the unjust destruction of one man, they have no limits. They will do anything. And now with these impending arrests, they're showing you what they will do.
If they'll destroy, you see, the civil liberties of one individual, pick the example, whether it's Chansley, the other guy, remember, that came in for 50 seconds and then out? He's been harassed by the DOJ. And then, of course, Donald Trump himself. If they'll do this, if they will do this to destroy a man, a citizen, an American, there's no limits to what they will do. It's exactly what America Under Attack says. What we're witnessing, what we're getting a good viewing of, is what they're willing to do to maintain their grip on power. They'll do anything. They'll destroy anyone. One more from Tucker's show last night, clip 6.
It was in no sense an insurrection. It was neither armed nor organized. It was a political protest that at times became violent and morphed, unfortunately, into a riot. But it was not an insurrection. That is a lie, and they know it's a lie. These are people who believe the election was stolen. They certainly had reason to think that. But instead of convincing them it wasn't stolen, instead of calming their fears by telling them what exactly Mark Zuckerberg's $400 million was doing in our election system, instead of explaining that despite the fact we changed the way we vote, no voting fraud took place, instead of explaining why voting seemed to stop in some places, did it not, why don't you tell us? Instead of doing any of that, as you would in a democracy, they told them to shut up.
And they still say that. You just keep your mouth shut. Don't you dare deny that election. You're an insurrectionist. It wasn't an insurrection, as he points out. Not at all. Not at all. Furthermore, he could have added that it was incited by FBI agents, by elements of Antifa. They were there too. You actually had images of Trump supporters trying to prevent certain thugs from breaking windows. Is that a story that Scarborough wants to tell you about? You see, I played that clip for you from Davenport last week, where Donald Trump said, this is what we're going up against. He had a statement yesterday, by the way, where he talked about dismantling the deep state. Who talks about that? Which other Republican candidate talks about dismantling the deep state? This is from his statement yesterday, clip 8.
First, I will immediately reissue my 2020 executive order restoring the president's authority to remove rogue bureaucrats, and I will wield that power very aggressively. Second, we will clean out all of the corrupt actors in our national security and intelligence apparatus, and there are plenty of them. The departments and agencies that have been weaponized will be completely overhauled so that faceless bureaucrats will never again be able to target and persecute conservatives, Christians, or the left's political enemies, which they're doing now at a level that nobody can believe even possible. Third, we will totally reform FISA courts, which are so corrupt that the judges seemingly do not care when they are lied to in warrant applications.
Like I said, try to name one other candidate on the Republican side. Will DeSantis come out with a statement such as that? He's not even really coming out in defense of this current attack on Donald Trump. He's making statements now like he would be a good president. Like he has a good shot. He told Piers Morgan this. You can see the Murdoch people. Everybody's lining up to try to, again, push DeSantis out there. They just have to have him, the man you just saw there, go away. And in their heart of hearts, like my father brings out in Ready for War, so many of them have been intimidated into silence or inaction. The Uniparty, they're all aligned. They're all aligned against Donald Trump. Get Trump. Get Trump. That's the approach, the strategy. That's the number one item on the agenda. You just listen to that one statement there, and he went on with other points. Not point one, point two, reform FISA, point four, point five, point six. You can see why he has to be removed. You can see why he has to be crushed. Because he's promising to come in and to crush them. I'll end. I've got a couple of minutes. Instead of taking a break, I'll just end with a few emails that have come in. The email address, td@thetrumpet.com. We'd love to hear from you. This is some feedback we have from Fiji, I believe it is. Thank you so much for exposing the truth and showing mankind that we decide who to choose. Choose God Almighty and be protected, or man's own will and lost forever. Will worship, as we often say, paraphrasing Colossians 2. Another one here says, thank you and your staff for a wonderful show. I love the new segment where you show us around campus, and of course the Bible study segments as well. That's our Tuesday segment, by the way. Current news is Friday. Tuesday segment is Behind the Work. So yesterday you got to see this beautiful facility that we're in here, the Mail Processing Center, and there's more. There's more behind-the-scenes viewing ahead. We'll get to that, as I say, next Tuesday. It says here, just wanted to thank Mr. Fleury and the staff for blasting the trumpet and sounding the alarm in this world of spiritual lawlessness, confusion, and despair as you deliver the only message of cause and effect and hope-filled solutions. Each program is inspired by God and tailor-made for the day it is given. Keep up the amazing job and fighting the good fight of faith. God be with you always. As I say, if you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. And of course, we'll see you again tomorrow.